Good evening. I'd like to call to order the regular meeting of the Unalaska City Council, called to order at 6 p.m. on Tuesday, January 23rd, 2024. I'll ask Councilman Anthony Longo to read our mission statement, please.
To provide a sustainable quality of life through excellent stewardship of government.
Thank you, Councilman Longo. City Clerk, you'll have a roll call, please.
Certainly, Mr. Mayor. Mr. Bell?
Here.
Ms. Coleman?
Here.
Ms. Luby?
Here.
Mr. Nicholson?
Here.
Mr. Longo?
Here.
Mr. Tungo?
Here.
Mr. Tudenkoff?
Here. Thank you. Quorum has been established. Please join Councilman Luby as we do the Pledge of Allegiance. Thank you, Councilman. I'd like to recognize all the visitors in the gallery or chambers here this evening. Thank you for being here this evening, and those of you online and on the telephone. This time, I need a motion and a second to adopt the agenda.
Make a motion to adopt the agenda.
Second.
Moved by Councilman Luby, seconded by Councilman Nicholson. There's no objection. And hearing no objection, the agenda is adopted. Next item is approval of the minutes of previous meeting. May I have a motion and second to adopt the previous meeting of January 9th, 2024 meeting.
I move to approve minutes of previous meeting, January 9th, 2024.
Second.
Moved by Councilman Tungo, seconded by Councilman Longo. There's no objections. And hearing no objection, the proposed minutes are approved. Next item is item 7, reports. First on the list is the board and commissioners' minutes. There will be no presentation for this part, and has been included in agenda for informational purposes. First one is the Library Advisory Committee minutes of December 14, 2023. Comments or questions from the council? Thank you. Hearing none, the next item is the Historic Preservation Commission and Planning Commission of December 21st, 2023. Any comments or questions for this commission? Hearing none, we'll move on to the next item on our agenda is the financials for December 2023. I'll turn this over to the city manager. And we'll have questions from the council. Thank you.
Thank you, Mayor and Council. These have been the financial statements and reports, monthly reports that we've been waiting for a while. They're past due, of course, because of some of our auditing issues that we were going through. And hope that you find that they are readable and satisfactory. We have our finance director, Patricia Soule, here. We'll be happy to review anything that you may have some particular questions on. I think there's been several, 6 months almost, so I anticipate some. So with that, rather than going through it, I'll just open it up for the general comment, or if you just like to have any questions now.
Okay, thank you. And council members have comments or questions on the financials? Councilman Luby.
Okay, sorry. First off, thank you very much. I appreciate getting those. It has been a long, it's been since May. I would still like to see the year end for FY 23. ending last June, because our last one we had was May of 23. So we need the June of 23, just so we can see how we closed out the year last year. So that would be great, because that makes it easier to kind of compare year to year. And then I had a question on the public safety admin. Of course, that stands out when you look at the percentage, right? It drew my attention right away. But I thought that during the budget process, we had rolled that budget into the public safety in general. So that's my first question, and I have more, but I'll let you answer that.
Thank you. And I will say that Ms. Soule did take great pains to explain it to me as well. So I'm going to have her just go ahead and try and explain it to you rather than me trying to translate this. So.
So as you can see, it's 5,085% greater than it was the previous year. This is something that was supposed to have stopped at the end of 23. The allocation was still happening, and in January, we're getting that sorted out, and it will go away. So it's going to all get moved into regular public safety.
Okay, I guess, yeah, that was like, wait a minute, I thought we rolled that in. So,
yeah.
Okay, perfect, thank you. And then let's see, that was the one. And then actually I think my other question that I had there, maybe we'll just talk about it separately. That was the one I asked you about a little while ago, so we can just wait on that one. So I think that's about it.
Okay. And as far as the June financials, we are still working with the auditors to get those like the GASB adjustments in there, so they won't be done until we're probably done with the audit.
Okay. So. Perfect. Okay. Are we going to have that like before we get into this year's budget, though?
Well, let's hope so, but I don't know that. We're going to probably be working on this year's budget while they're working on our audit. I don't know how long it'll take them to get their part done.
Okay. Great. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Thank you. No further questions for financial? Councilman Tom Bell.
I know we've had this conversation quite a few times over the years, and I just kind of want to bring it back around. And there's going to be some questions related to some of the proprietary funds when we start going into the CMMP. One of the questions is going to be, when we start look at certain projects, some of those projects, the funds are allocated from a proprietary fund. Trying to have a better understanding of where those monies are coming from and how the depreciation line item in these financial reports factor into that. When we start looking at, transfers into these funds or funding some of these projects from these proprietary funds, is there a balance in these funds that we're using up, or do those come indirectly through the general fund?
Well, when you look at where the majority of the funds that have been transferred, it's usually grants or general funds. Most of the proprietary funds don't really have a huge reserve balance, and depreciation makes it look worse than the cash really is. But is one of those things you have to have in your financials for GASB-based financials. If we were cash-based, it wouldn't have to be in there, but we are GASB-based, so that does have to be in there. And typically, our proprietary funds are grant-funded, usually, or bond-funded, or something like that.
Yeah, so I'll add on to this, the conversation I did just have with our finance director, I think, yesterday. It would be helpful as we do run throughs with the CMMP that we actually show what the balances are, what the availability is. I've had this conversation, and she provided me with an explanation of exactly how the depreciation works. It's one of these things where you see $4 million line item moved off for depreciation. It's like, where is it going? Is this some sort of investment? How does this work? Because it should be available somewhere for use if we're setting it aside, et cetera. I've been here 7 years, and I've probably heard 14 definitions of what depreciation is. So I think that'll be part of a presentation as we're moving forward in our budgeting, so we do all have a better handle on what our balances are, what is depreciation, where does that actually go or sitting? Because ideally it is a cash number that's addressing some sort of philosophical budgeting accounting system. And I have a hard time rectifying that myself. So I'm digging into that at the same time as we're preparing the budget. So
thank you. Yeah, as we start moving forward here with CMP and through the budget process, you know, there'll be more questions related to that. So thanks.
Okay, thank you, Councilman Bell. Any further questions? Councilman Tungo?
On the investment earnings, the market's doing good. Are we up to date on that?
Yes, we have the latest report in there. The journal entries are in. So when you look at our investments, we are $5,642,000 of interest income, interest earnings. $5,486,000
for 2024. Thank you. Thank you, Councilman Tungo. Further questions for financial report? All right. Thank you. Thank you very much. Let's see some financial reports. Okay, we'll move on to the next item. Next item, we have the city manager's report, and I'll turn this over to the city manager, Mr. Humpka.
All right, thank you. So it was quite a few things on here, and I probably left more to you off that I'm going to speak about quickly tonight. Our EOC and command folk continue to meet with the folks representing the Genius Star and the response, and or I think they're calling an investigation at this point for the Genius Star 11. And I know they're still busy trying to recharge the fire suppression system. I know that the crews out there are having some issues. I attended part of the meeting today, and it sounds like the seas are really interfering with what they're trying to do out there. So I anticipate some future pressure on trying to bring it in closer to our shores. We'll keep you updated on how that goes and who requests and find out how we want to respond appropriately. Title III comp study, our consultant met with our directors individually today along with the city assistant city manager and HR manager to start going through that presentation and getting their ideas and comments back. That's scheduled again for a special meeting for all of you on February 6th. I've mentioned that there will be a work session to discuss some needs from the IFHS clinic. Hoping to have that on the February 27th council agenda. I believe Mayor Kelty is on the line, wants to speak a little after I report about the crab disaster relief funds. I'll cover that one after this report. I've anticipated a discussion on your February 13th agenda about the geothermal and the PPA that's been requested. And then I wanted to alert you that we've also decided to start pursuing a power plan. Since this is where we are, we want to take an overall look. We have needs, not exactly certain what the timing is going to be. So we're working with our EPS consultants on putting together where we are, what our options are here on the island. You can see there was work done on our breakwaters. It was interesting aerial photography. I only have the one where it was snapped when they had kind of broken free. A lot of work was done to try and get them back in alignment. However, we know that's just a temporary fix. I did hear back initially from GCI about the 911 problem we had. I did not hear anything yesterday or today, and I only noticed that as I was putting my comments together for tonight's report. So I'll be calling them tomorrow to find out what the status is on that investigation. And then I have a brief bit in here about our transit I mean, we're trying to work with the schools and what their transit options are, and needs are going to be. UVB also has those. And we're trying to be green. Do we want to have more cars coming? That's a big discussion I think we want to have here in front of the council. What should we be doing? So I just want to alert you to that, that there's been discussions and there's needs, and a few of our organizations are finding themselves in a bind from the standpoint of providing transportation to students. And when we have cruise ships here, who's going to help get those people around, if we even have that ability? So with that, I'd like to also say that we're trying to schedule. Oh, there's an EPA award that was nice to receive for our water water division, the work they did on the treatment facility. I'm not sure who put us in for that. I don't know if they just called three projects or if someone nominated us. I couldn't find that out. But it is nice to be recognized way out here for the work that we do. We know what the challenges are. And obviously, if you've ever toured that facility, it's state-of-the-art and clean, and it's really impressive. So I'm not surprised they got some recognition for the work they've done. And we're looking to try and have your training and planning session around February 26th through 29th. So we can come out and do council planning and roles and responsibilities, and that I know that there was inquiry for that here on, this, on the organization. So stay tuned for that, but we have someone that we are lining up to do that. Is there any questions?
Any questions for City Manager, Councilman Bell?
I'll just make a comment. I'm glad to see the comment here about power plans looking in the future. I know we all want to see this geothermal project go, but after this many years, we need to not have our eggs all in one basket, and diesel is probably not our future. So thank you for that.
Thank you. Any further questions for City Manager from the council on this report? Okay, thank you. As the City Manager mentioned, I'll allow Mr. Kelty here online to explain the disaster relief issues that we're dealing with. There's two or three years that we're having to deal with. So go ahead and take it on. You got a couple of minutes. I used up a minute.
Okay. Well, you know how good I am on time. Good evening, Mayor and Council, and thank you, City Manager, for allowing me this a moment to talk on the disaster funding. I've been involved with this since the start. We have one that's, you've got the good information on the large crab disaster funds on the snow crab and king crab of 2020, 2021, 2022, and 2022, 2023. That funding for the communities was $9.3 million. Unalaska should be able to take in about 50% of that amount for Unalaska, maybe a slightly more. And it is, the way it's based is on where the product was landed during those disaster years, or the historical amount of crab that was landed in the community if there was a year that when there was no season. So they'll take the percentage of that and then work it back. But we're in pretty good shape since we're the largest crab processing community in the region. That large amount of money is still probably a year, maybe 18 months out. It has gone back to DC. OMB has it now. And then NOAA is also looking at the spend plan, which you have your January 9th letter in your packet. Now we have a smaller one that was started 2019, 2020, and that was the first year we did not have a Barreti Tanner crab fishery in Bering Sea. That was a small amount of money, $12.9 million, and the community share was 4.5% of the $12.9 million, so around $614,000. I'm estimating we'll be in the 50 to 55% on that. That is around $300,000 to $350,000, and that possibly we might see that funding in the next 3 months. So we'll see that one. And the last one I want to talk about is in the 2023-2024 snow crab disaster. And we have just sent a letter to the Secretary of Commerce, Raimondo, from the governor, and the governor has is supporting us on this. And the total amount of money that we hope that they'll look at is about $310 million for the 23-24 snow crab fishery. There was $133 million ex vessel value and $177 million first wholesale value of snow crab impacts. So it's about $310 million. And that one's probably 2 years out. So I'll answer any questions if anybody has some.
Thank you, Frank. Appreciate make sure and keep an eye on that request.
Yes, we'll be working with the Pacific States Fisheries Commission out of Oregon, and they are the one that will be distributing it. And I believe there'll probably be some paperwork coming shortly on the Tanner Crab disaster funds that we have to fill out and send back to them before they'll send us a check. But like I said, we're still a year out on the big dollar amounts. So thank you, Mr. Mayor.
I have a question from Councilman Tungo.
Hi, Frank. It's Bone. So all these funds are going to be coming to the city to be dispersed out, right? When they're available.
It's right from the city to the use of the city. And right now, with the legislation that was passed last year, we believe it'll be able to use to replenish lost fish tax dollars. And I believe that has been approved, that NOAA's approved to what the Congress passed, allowing it to be used for fish taxes that we lost. The other option was previously was that you got the money, but you'd have to go do projects with, and then they would have to approve your projects if it was habitat protection or habitat projects, things like that. But now the way it is, it'll go directly to the city and they can use it as they see fit.
Thanks, Brian.
Well, thank you, Councilman Tungo. Any questions on fisheries? On fisheries. Thanks, Frank. Appreciate the information. Appreciate your at least twice weekly reports and updates on catcher, processor, and onshore deliveries. Thanks.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
And further questions for the city manager? Councilman Bell.
Yeah, I just wanted to add a quick question on the clinic and work session you have scheduled for the 27th. I guess having an idea what the scope of that conversation is going to be about, or whether you're talking about, you know, how where that, where any monies would come to fund that, any ideas on additional revenues or for something they're going to take out of the general fund, and how we would make that all that work.
I appreciate the question, but I think in fairness to the rest of the body, I think it's a good time to bring that up. I know we've looked at the financial state. There's different funds. I'm not exactly sure what the smoking cessation tax is eligible for or not. And I think it's fair to really get a good feel for what the clinic is seeking for all of you to then be able to digest that, and then we can have a robust discussion about what is available.
Yeah, healthcare is obviously important in this community, being so far from, you know, hospitals and that type of stuff. And, you know, the healthcare in this country basically is in crisis too. So, however we can fix it locally benefit this community,
I think it's
invite that conversation.
We've heard before, it's a gap. And an organization is working hard to make sure that two things: the services that are provided are able to be reimbursed by insurance companies fairly, which is not always the case out here. And then the second is to make sure that we're providing services that are needed
that can help bridge that gap. And that is something that we're working on over there. I'll tell you that.
Thank you.
And thank you, Councilman Bell or Councilman Tungle.
There's some available grant that that's going to be used for this project, right?
It's two different things. One is a grant that'll help expand the facility and be able to have more services and things that are billable. The other is the revenue stream is not, the way it's coming in is not, we can't bill everything that we need. And the issue is the biggest drawback is on the after-hour service with the critical care, emergency room, whatever we want to call that. If that wasn't being a service, then it would be an issue. But we need that service. This community needs that service. But I think long-term should, and I can't speak in crystal ball, but the plan and the numbers appear that with the right mix of services and the right billing codes, we're not able to bill because we're not the right hospital. If you want to put it free, well, if you like, I can have Noel come up and explain that. But that's the purpose of the work session, so we can get into it further. And there also is work on that, so that would be billed properly.
We'll wait for the work session.
Thank you.
Take a lot longer.
I think it will. Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Councilman Dumbo. Any further questions for the city manager? All right. Well, thanks for the update and more to come here in the next special meeting that we're going to have. Move down to the next item on the agenda. That is community input and announcement. This is time for members of the public to provide information to the council, make announcements of interest to the community. At the podium, use the microphone, state your name.
Roger Blakely, the PCR director. I wanted to let the council know that on Sunday, February 4th, from 5 to 7, will be our father-daughter dance. Tickets are on sale now. We have 30 left. We've sold 98 so far. So if you're interested, you better hurry and get yourself some tickets. Thanks.
Okay, thank you, Roger. Any further public comment?
An old AI test clinic. I just wanted to give an update. I think last year about this time when we were talking about community grants, talking about the CT project that's been coming and working on it for a couple of years. So it's purchased, it's en route across country to go on a barge in a few weeks. It'll be here at the end of next month. And then in the next week or so, you'll start seeing some ground turned up in front of the clinic so we can place the CT that's in a trailer and connect it to the building with a man door so people aren't walking out necessarily and all the wind and the rain and snow to get the CT done. But that's an interim step while we, so it'll be operational probably for a couple of years till we get the building or the full remodel done, which is, I think, was alluded to earlier. But it's been a long haul. Staff have gone through training, a lot of piecing together pots of money that through the delegation and other grants to make it happen. Still going to take some money out of reserves, but anyway, we'll have CT services for the first time ever, and should be, you'll see it next month arriving, but operational probably a week or two after that while we work through the kinks. Is that an update?
Thank you. Look forward to seeing improvements around the clinic.
I'm speaking on behalf of Museum of Evolutions First. They have an event coming up on Saturday called Life in Margaret Bay, Family Activities for All Ages. It's from 11:30 to 1 p.m. They'll start inside at 11:30 for a story time, which is targeted to infants through kindergartners and their families. And from noon to 1 p.m., they'll explore Margaret Bay outside with nature guides. They'll also have collections from Margaret Bay on display from noon until 4 p.m. So that's from the Museum of the Illusions from DAP to Hatfield. Emlyn Crane on behalf of USAVE. I'd like to thank everyone who participated in our winter raffle this year. We sold over 1,000 tickets and grossed over $4,000. We appreciate the Ballyhoo Lions for sponsoring us again this year. And congratulations to City Manager Bill Hompa, who won the raffle. He's on a draw on a roll. He also won some new employees to be, I don't know, he's charmed somehow. USAFE continues to be very, very busy this fiscal year. Since July 1, we've already provided more than three times as many shelter nights than in all of last year. And in the first two quarters of the year, we've had about a 19% increase in the number of food boxes we provided. Something's going on in the community. I'm not sure what. We need both crisis line volunteers and paid shelter advocates. But we're really, I don't want to say desperate, but we're really desperate for shelter advocates. Shelter advocates are paid part-time employees who stay at the shelter at night when we have residents. When we don't have enough of them, it means that one of the three full-time staff members has to stay and cover the night shift. This is not only very expensive, but also very disruptive to our day-to-day business operations and just keeping things going, and also to our efforts to do consistent and good outreach and education activities. All of our shelter advocates do have other jobs, so it is possible to make that work. And it can be a nice way not only to really help people going through a tough time, but also to make a little extra money. So if anyone would like to know more about becoming a shelter advocate, please call me at 907-581-1500. USAFE is working to bring the Florica group out to do some more board training in March, and then we'll coordinate with our community partners to make sure that that endeavor benefits the greatest number of people possible. We are also working to bring some folks from Stand Together Against Rape in Anchorage to do some education in Alaska around child sexual abuse and how we can prevent it, how we can respond to it, and how we can create a safer community and a community where kids know how to and feel comfortable talking about it and asking for help when they need to. So look for those workshops that'll be coming up hopefully before June 30. I want to remind you all again of the Unalaska Interagency Cooperative. This is an informal group of community agencies that meets the fourth Thursday of every month. It's a nice way to kind of keep up on what's going on in town. As I always say, you will hear things there that you might not hear other places. It would be nice to see some of you there now and again. It's this Thursday at noon at the library. USAFE is holding our second Coffee Community Connection event this Saturday at the PCR from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. January is Stalking Awareness Month, and February is Teen Dating Violence Awareness Month. So those are the topics we'll be focusing on, but it will be a low pressure and upbeat activity. There won't be a lot of heavy discussion of upsetting topics. We just want to get some education out there and connect with the community. So that's from 10 to 1. So we hope to see you there. Good company, good snacks. And finally, now that we're in the new year, we are really starting to gear up for the soup off, crossing our fingers. Scheduled for Saturday, March 30. Thank you, Scarlett. That's so nice. It will be our first live event in person in 5 years. Can you believe that? And we are so excited for it. We definitely hope to see everyone here at the soup off. If you've never been to a soup off, you just don't know what you're missing. If anyone has any questions about anything to do with USAFE, please call me 581-1500. Thank you.
Hey, thank you very much. There's three or four announcements in the one section of it.
Catherine McLashen, Unalaska Visitors Bureau. I just wanted to announce that we have 22 cruise ships scheduled for this spring summer, starting in April and ending in October. We have 5 state ferries that start in May and end in September, so one each month. And we have a tentative date for our wine tasting fundraiser, which is April 27th. It will be our 18th annual wine tasting fundraiser. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. On telephone or Zoom.
Thank you, Mayor. I'd just like to remind folks that January 31st is the deadline for the fourth quarter sales tax, tobacco excise tax. And on March 1st is the deadline for senior citizen, disabled veteran, volunteer firefighter, EMS personnel, real property tax exemption. On March 15th, that is the deadline for the public official financial disclosure. I have printed POFDs in here. So if you want to complete yours in paper, I have the forms for you, or you can also do that through your My Alaska account. So council members, school board members, planning commission members, and city manager have to complete that. And finally, on March 31st, That's the deadline for our senior sales tax refund application. That's it.
Thank you. Those are important. We need to get them in or get them into some kind of trouble. All right. Any further comments or information or community? None? Okay, we'll move on. Next is a public comment on agenda items. Time for the members of the public to provide information to the council regarding items on the agenda. To comment later during the regular agenda, you need to sign up with city clerk. Please come to the podium, use a microphone, state your name, and everyone gets 3 minutes on the council. Anybody out there? Anybody on Zoom or telephone?
No, sir. No one indicated they wanted to make a comment.
Okay, we'll move on to the public hearing. Members of the public may testify about any item set for public hearing. There is a 3 minute time limit per person. Please come to the podium and state your name. The public hearing is now open. 6:38. And the first item is the ordinance 2024-02, creating a budget amendment on number 3 to the fiscal year 2024 budget, appropriating $84,450 from the general fund to increase Department of Public Safety Records Management System project, accepting State of Alaska Department of Health MLH grant for $83,333.33 to fund the purchase of a new command vehicle, reducing the budget amount for the cruise ship terminal demand study project by $45,042 to fund the UMC dock site survey in the port's operating fund. Does anyone present wish to speak? Anyone on Zoom or over the phone?
No, sir.
Hearing no comments from public or anyone on the phone, the hearing is now closed. 6:39 p.m. Next up is the work session. May I have a motion and a second to go into a work session, please?
I make a motion to go into a work session.
Second.
Thank you. Moved by Councilman Tunville, second by Councilman Bell. There's no objection. We are in a work session at this time. First item is a review of the CMMP nominations and prioritized projects. And I'll turn this over to City Manager to introduce the CMMP planning session.
So tonight is our first run through for the draft, and I think some of the questions that were asked in my manager's report time are some of the same questions we were talking about addressing as we move forward with this presentation. I mean, having some available balances, having some more tools available so you can see what we've already approved, what's in queue, and what are the balances, because, you know, as we work to change things, we're still in the midst of using the existing system. So bear that in mind. This is our first draft, and I've asked Cameron to come forth and do what I used to take great joy in doing, is presenting these projects to you. But there is still some work to be done, but we want to hear from you and get some questions at this point in time. So Cameron, if you're ready.
Sure. Thank you, Mayor Council. Like Bill said, this is the first draft for the CMMP this year. I'm going to be focusing on the FY25 projects. I'm going to give you the full 10-year chart just for some context, but this presentation is focused on what's coming up next year. So looking for the funding for FY25, We currently have requests for about $5.8 million from proprietary funds and $3.8 million from the general funds. Then that leaves this pretty big item in here for grants for $29 million, and that's for Captain's Bay Road. We've had Captain's Bay Road on the CBP for a very long time at this point. For a lot of those years, we've been presenting it as being funded by a lot of future grant funding. That's not necessarily grants that the city has. It's not necessarily grants that, you know, realistic funding opportunities. It's just how it's been presented. So we need to have a conversation, separate conversation about a plan for funding Captain's Bay Road and strategy, how we're going to proceed with that project. So on this CMP, we're keeping that all there as a placeholder, but just recognize that that's probably going to change. Then the last source on here is private contribution. That reflects the OCCP's contribution for McCushion geothermal related upgrades. And that reflects the most recent agreed upon amendment to the PPA. Just bear that in mind. I'm going to start running down the list of projects for FY25. It's on page 129 of your packet, if you want to follow along. But before that, I do want to highlight two projects that we removed that were presented on the CMMP last year as having funding for this year. That's the equipment storage building and the paint and body shop at DPW. The department reevaluated their needs, and we're deciding not to continue with those. So then going from the top, these FY25 projects, starting with electric proprietary funds, we have electric distribution equipment replacement, $200,000. That's ongoing major maintenance. We have that $200,000 in there every year for the duration of the CMMP to replace distribution equipment. Similarly, generator sets rebuilds, that's been on the CMMP for a number of years too. About $500,000, and we have that funding planned out through FY27 right now. But that, as you know, things with the geothermal change, that might also change. And then we have a new one, the powerhouse SCADA and reporting system upgrades, $150,000. Those are control systems upgrades at the powerhouse, and that's related to security and reliability there. Then moving on to the general funds. McCushion geothermal, already mentioned that, $2.8 million is the OCCP contribution. We're not requesting any additional funding from the city or the, you know, it's been previously from the 1% funds, not requesting any of that this year. Then another new project, a fire station with an integrated training facility. If you remember from last year, we had two fire projects on there, one for renovating the existing fire station and then another for building a separate offsite training facility. Fires decided to combine those into one project for one new building that integrates the station and has on-site training. The funding you see in there for this year was originally funding that we had for construction of that off-site training facility. So we just rolled into this project to begin some of that pre-design and design work. But that project is budgeted at about $20 million right now. With construction in FY27, and fire is, you know, actively pursuing grants for that. So we are expecting, you know, not entirely a general fund request with that. Going down to PCR, there's only one PCR project on the CMMP this year, and it's because they're pursuing the master plan right now. We decided to, you know, pending the results of that, we pushed all PCR's project back to at least FY26, and we're expecting those to change. We're expecting the scheduling for those to change based on the results of the master plan. So one exception to that is what you see here, the rebar restoration and replastering, requesting $250,000, and we moved that up so that we're able to coordinate the work on the pool that will require closing it with the boiler repairs at the school and just reduce downtime at the pool. Then we have two new planning projects. The first is the Fisherman's Memorial. So we've talked about this a couple of times. As you know, we don't have a final site selected for that. So I'd expect the numbers in here to change as we get a better idea of that. But any site we choose is going to need both utility extensions and then the basic site preparation. Yeah, that's split up into two phases. Phase one requesting $50,000 this year from the general fund, and that would be for electric extensions out to the site, and then whatever bare minimum necessary site depth there is. And then in FY26, more extensive improvements and possibly extending water lines as well out to that site. Then we have Unalaska Public Transit. So Bill introduced this a bit in his manager's report. As maybe you remember, we did a public transit study in 2018. And then since then, we've had a CMMP project for doing a follow-up professional transit study. And that's been pushed back a number of times. So we're at the point now where, as Bill mentioned, the school, UVB, others, there's acute transit needs in the community. So we're proposing turning that into moving into a design phase with that. We are expecting significant grant funding for the actual implementation of the public transit system that was borne out a lot in the study that we did in 2018. So this funding request this year would be for beginning that design work, matching funds for grants and grant writing work. But we're still, that's a very new development, so we're still putting all of that together. Then moving on to public works projects from the general funds. We have the facilities maintenance plan, rolling stock replacement, and painting plan. So those are all regular maintenance plans, and those will be presented in March at a later meeting. We split out the painting plan this year. Previously, that was in the major maintenance plan. It's its own plan now, but same type of maintenance work. We'll talk about all that at another meeting. And Captain's Bay Road safety and paving improvements. We have that $14.5 million from grants. Talked about that. We'll have a discussion about Captain's Bay Road another time. And then a new project. We have a comprehensive roof assessment. It's $330,000 from the general funds. And that is an assessment of all the roofs of city buildings, figuring out what needs to be done to repair them, and then coming up with a timeline on doing that. We don't have, the numbers for actually repairing those is, pending that, would be pending that assessment, but we do, expect that to be pretty significant maintenance in the next couple of years. And then, so that's all the general fund projects. Going on to the, some of the other proprietary funds, we have a new project for solid waste, village control system upgrades, similar to the control systems at the powerhouse, that's a safety and reliability upgrade, and that is requesting $125,000 from the solid waste funds. Then the next two are both Captain's Bay Road utility line extensions. We have a wastewater line extension for a little over 11 million as quote unquote grant funding, and then the water line installation for 3.6 million grants and currently and 4.7 million from the water proprietary funds. Those are all the projects we have planned for FY25 right now. Did want to highlight a couple others. The electric energy storage system, you've seen that on a previous CMMP a couple years ago. We initially removed it because expecting that to be a part of the Cushion Geothermal project. With the delays there, the energy storage system is still in need. So at this point, we think it's a good idea to bring it back under the CMMP. We have construction for that in FY26. There's already some previously appropriated funding, about $650,000 that would be going towards the feasibility and design work on that one. And then we have a couple projects that we're still developing, but we expect to be including on a future draft of this CMMP. I'm just going to bring them up now so give you a heads up that they're probably coming. First is UMC concrete dock surface repair. That's for the repair and resurfacing of the Unalaska Meeting Center positions 5 through 7. Then we've added considering adding a project for a city on ports office, and we're considering about $250,000 in FY25 to do the feasibility analysis and scoping. The idea there would be to have leasable space on the first floor and then a city on ports office on the second floor. Oh, I'm sorry, those aren't on the, so these aren't on the table yet. These are projects we're considering and should be added, probably be added to future drafts.
So Ports has no projects for the next 10 years?
On that draft, no, we're expecting adding these two.
Okay, I want to be clear, so if I go back to my other sheet. So through the next 10 years, Ports had no projects slated for them.
They don't have any other nominations.
Thank you. Oh, okay.
Right. There are other, that this doesn't include, should have said, this is only projects right now that are requesting funding in the future. Of course, there's other capital projects going on right now. They do not appear on the CMMP. So, because if they're not requesting additional funding. And then the other two, we have citywide building security upgrades. That would be to evaluate our existing building security systems, upgrade them where needed. So looking at like electronic door controls, additional cameras. That's been identified in need, especially at the public safety building. And we're looking at other buildings as well. This is something that was on the CMMP previously and was removed, but with the fiber optic service, we have a faster internet now. We're looking at bringing that back, making this more feasible. And then the last one, solid waste scale, it should say replacement. The scale at the landfill is reaching its end of life. So we're proposing replacing that. That would be an FY26 at about $175,000 from the solid waste proprietary funds. We have several more drafts of the CMMP coming before it's time to approve it. So both March and April, we'll be talking about this again. And you know, with that, I'm open for questions.
Thank you for that update. Now we'll have Councilman Tungle.
On the captain's payroll, where are we on the grants with that? I know we applied a few different types of grants. Where are we on those grants?
Sure, we do have some funding now from the Denali Commission for some of the water work, but other than that, Scott, are you able to talk about that?
I can, obviously this report was written last week, and I got a note late yesterday from our state lobbyist that the Captain's Bay Road, $13 million was included in the STIP this year. At least it's not funded, but at least it's on the STIP. So,
well, you made it on the STIP.
Made it on the STIP.
Thank you. All right, thank you. Any further questions? Councilman Bell?
Let's see. Let's talk about the fire station and the overall plan between the fire station and the police station.
Yep.
Obviously, the original plan was to renovate the old fire station, or the previous fire station, to bring that up to what we need and build a new police station. Are we looking at reversing those projects, or would those be two standalone projects where we're building new buildings on new property or tearing down the existing police station and fire station?
Sure. So fire station, new building and the CMMP. Police station, we pushed that back a bit to, I think the design and construction is FY31 or so. And that would either be a renovation or replacement of the building.
Okay. So it's going, we're going down a different road.
Yeah.
On those two buildings.
Right. Yeah, the last site we presented for the police station was on what's now part of IFHS's lease, so we're looking for another plan for that.
And then the question I ask every year is when we look at the monies for the that are supposed to come out of proprietary funds, like the electric proprietary fund, we're looking at $850,000 proposed there. What does that do to the rates? I don't expect an answer tonight, but I'm just saying that's going to be an ongoing problem.
Well, we are just happened to have a conversation with the deputy director of utilities this afternoon, and we are looking at, obviously the time to raise rates or consider rates is along with the rest of the budget process. And so we'll be looking at that as well as we're moving into budgeting.
Okay. $850,000 project. I mean, that is a lot of money, but in that fund, it probably wouldn't affect it as much as, say, the water fund, where we're showing $4.7 million.
at some point, either that money's going to come from the general fund or you're going to increase rates, or maybe there's a bunch of money in that fund that, you know, that we can use. I don't know. But it's just going to be an ongoing question.
Okay, thank you. Councilman Ruby.
Yeah, I actually have a few questions. more than I had on finance, but anyway, so I guess I'll just start with a few of them. For the first one, so why are we taking the storage building off? That seemed to be pretty, you know, everybody really wanted that last year for the equipment. I actually, you know, so I'm just curious why it's not needed anymore and the paint shop, why it's not needed anymore. That's the first question.
Sure. Scott is standing up, so be happy
as Mr. Brown comes up. I'd like to just at least commend the staff for taking a look at the existing projects and really trying to relook at what the feasibility is and what the value is and what the priorities are. I mean, I don't know if we've done that enough before, but there's obviously give and take on priorities. And that's kind of how we open this discussion up with the team. So Scott has more details on exactly why we did what we did.
Yeah, this is actually just a little bit ahead of me being able to come and speak to you guys. But originally, we requested $1.5 million to look into building the equipment storage for the public works equipment and storage building. As we got through developing it and laying it out and getting through the scoping of it, it turned into $3.5 million and still only housed 15 of our city's equipment. So going through that and other projects that we have going on, I just couldn't rationalize bringing forward to council. Let's build another building. And we've got some of the priorities and stuff coming up on existing infrastructure that we have. So that's why the discussion came to pull that one. It just doubled in price.
Okay.
The paint shop, that's just an ongoing hardship for us. It would be a really expensive endeavor for us to do. And I think when that was originally conceived, there was we're doing painting, and we've gotten away from that now, and we're not doing that type of painting anymore. So there's just not the need that we once had. Also, there's a potential of another company that is moving in that would be able to handle that kind of painting if we needed it. So we're looking into being able to utilize that company as well. That's not local, so that's why we decided to pull that one as well.
Okay, great. Now, I really do like that you evaluated old projects and everything and double in prices. That's a big ask, so appreciate that. The public transit, that I know that has been a real issue for a while with bus service, taxi service, especially at night, and with the school kids and CDB. I mean, it's been an ongoing issue. And so I love the idea. I'm a little bit concerned though about what's it gonna do to our taxi services. If it puts our taxis out of business, what does that do? Is this gonna be a 24-hour operation? And if it's not, you know, how are we going to deal with moving people around outside of the time frame? I feel like it's a great idea that, you know, to go for, but it seems like there's a lot of questions about that, you know. And then if we do it, are we going to have to build a building, a transit building? Is it just going to be like bus stops or, you know, what's the envision for all of that? Because that could be, you know, more of a cost for the city as well if we have to build some sort of a transit building or something, you know. I guess that was all about the transit. I'll let you go with that one.
Sure. So I'll start with the taxi question. I mean, that comes up a lot. And actually, something, and it's pretty common, like intuitive reaction to it. But what we found with doing our training study was that it really didn't cut into taxi's business. And actually, during one of the study periods, we saw increased taxi use. I think a lot of times, trains like this can be more complementary to taxis than it is competitive. Like you'll take the bus to the grocery store and then you have lunch and groceries and take a taxi back. So we really didn't see a big impact on the taxis. And I think there's a lot of populations here that the taxi just isn't an option. We've been talking about school kids, they're not taking a taxi to school generally. There's a lot of people here that a taxi ride just doesn't make economic sense for getting around. For the second question, we're still looking at exactly what kind of model work for this, and that means like what kind of buses and things would make sense here. You know, what we've been talking about the most would be like four or so PCR sized buses. So we wouldn't expect needing like a huge maintenance building or anything for that. We are looking at grant opportunities for the implementation of this though, that it would cover some of that like other infrastructure to support the bus system besides just the buses themselves.
And so the transit building I'm talking about is more of a people, not so much as a maintenance, because I'm sure the maintenance could be done out at Public Works. But, you know, if you're riding a bus and you have, you know, coming in from Captain's Bay, for example, is it, you know, is that bus going to make a route all over? So, or are you going to have a transit?
So let me just kind of cut to the quick on this one. Everything has changed since, like, in terms of usership, leveraging partners. There's a partner that may be interested in actually helping take this on. So it's more about funding, designing the right system. Before, when we presented, it wasn't even presenting that the city would do it. It was just we need transit. I think it was this big discussion thinking we were going to do all this stuff, kind of what we're going down this path here. I think what we're looking for is support to, you know, for some of these grants, there may be matching funds required. Some of our partners may do it as well. We haven't had a solid meeting in terms of whether a partner may be in or out, because we still have some questions to answer as well. You know, but I don't think in terms of trying to start a new division and a transit division for the city is what we're trying to do. I mean, the cost of labor would be different, right? So when we presented the study, however, at that time there were grants that would actually pay for the entire system. But we kept it conservative, like what if we only got a third of it? So those grants are still there, but it depends on our partner makeup. You know, is it tribal? Is it part tribal? How can we do it? And I think that we're approaching it from that angle this time, and with the fact that it was just general usership last time. This time, we're really trying to solve an option for the schools, as well as UVB, as well as, you know, people who are pedestrians and working off, you know, down Captain's Bay Road, for example, and farther down means more walking. And at the same time, there's a safety factor for us, and we're trying to move in the green direction. And if you know, we're still trying to coordinate getting cars off the island. We have to do something about addressing the volume of cars that seem to be growing, because they're not leaving as fast as they're coming. And $100 a year for registration isn't covering that. So it's hard to say, how do we develop some sort of disincentive bringing lots of cars here without having an alternative? And so that's kind of all in the mix. And none of that was kind of covered before. It was just kind of a new idea, and there was funds out there, and let's see how it would work. And it worked really well for a bunch of city employees driving the PCR bus around two different times of the year. I think we had 1,350 riders in 1 week in like the August run. And that was the short season, right? Whenever that was. It was not a lot of people here compared to like if it was January. I think January we learned how to make a few alterations to do a better service. So it was really hard, even though we did both, to compare them. That was the idea why we wanted to get a professional transit company for money for a study, and that kept getting pushed down the road because it wasn't exactly a priority. But now the priorities have changed, at least from my perspective, and the community need. So we want to be able to flush those out even if you all said tomorrow, let's all go, there wouldn't be a system in time for the school's fall start. And it's just a few months away. So they'll be looking for some alternative as well. I don't know how we can help, but I'm in conversations with them about what we can provide. We did scope out how it would work in terms of maintenance, just to have the two yellow buses looked at and what the liabilities would be if you're trying to decide whether you want to buy those, say from Pueblo, and it's not something that we wanted to really take on. I thought it would be a help, but you're having another, you know, organization, we're trying to advise them on what the school buses can or can't do. That's not something that we should do. So we can only go so far to help. But in this particular instance, trying to look down our community's path, we need to look a little longer term and what our options are. So hopefully we will be able to present some of those to you soon.
Okay, and I see I have it under planning, so I'm assuming it'll end up in a different department somewhere because there will be ongoing expenses. So I guess that's something I would want to see. What's the, you know, what is the impact going to be on the budget, you know, long term? If I think it's a great idea.
Right. You know, it's just how would it work?
How would it work? How would we pay for it? You know, is it going to be a proprietary type thing? Is, you know, is it going to, are we just going to pay for it? And
how or do we even own it?
Right. So, I mean, you can get a grant for the initial cost, but there's ongoing stuff. So, okay, great. Sorry, I do have a few questions. The fire station, and Tom kind of brought this up as well, and that was my kind of, and I don't know if that was actually clarified. So if, are you still looking, I mean, I know that we can't put the UPD on the site where we originally talked about because we just gave it to the clinic, but are with the fire, if we build the fire now, UPD, are we still going to be looking for another place to build a new UPD, or it will still stay on that site? You know what I mean? You know, or is that plan going away?
Yeah, we're still determining exactly how that would be laid out. But ideally, we'd like to see like a campus there of public safety buildings. The fire station likely will require some additional land up there from what's there now. So we're still planning what that site will look like.
If I, while your mic didn't work, if I can interrupt, Councilman. Remember, I think we also, we were looking at a fire training facility before, and that was looking out down in the valley, you know, where there was some land. So it is kind of re-looking at some of the past ideas and how to rearrange them. There's economies of scale. Obviously, it'd be better for Mold and Demold if we had both projects done at the same time. But it's not the only project that we need, you know, in terms of we're looking right now, there's a need to do something for the port's facilities. And how is that going to work? So there's a lot of unanswered questions, but I just want to get some in front of you now. So forgive me if we're not able to give you all the answers, but I'm glad for the questions.
Yeah, no, you guys are answering them really, actually, and it's more just putting seeds in there, you know, maybe something that you might bring back later as well, and I think it's a great idea to combine the two. I've talked to Ben quite a bit about it, and I really like what he's thinking and the way he's going with it, so, but I was wondering about the, how does that affect the police station that we had talked about, you know, building, so. We can just wait on that one and see how that comes out. The powerhouse upgrades, is that just going to end up being like a one-time expense, or is there ongoing costs with, I'm not, you know, really sure what that involves, but is it just a one-time thing, or?
Are you talking about the SCADA reporting system upgrades? Oh. Mm-hmm. I believe that'll be a one-time expense for the lifetime of that equipment.
Okay, perfect. And so if we're looking at a gasifier for our trash, the baler control upgrades, is the baler going to go away when we do the gasifier, or are we still doing the gasifier? How does that all integrate with each other?
So the gasifier in the last CMMP was proposed for construction this year in FY25. We actually pushed that back a year to FY26 because we still have a lot of feasibility and study for that to determine if it's even, you know, right way for us to go with solid waste. So there's, we're not requesting funding for that this year because there's already funding in the project that can cover some of that work. But yeah, right now the gasifier is up in the air. So we don't know, basically.
There's this, that's not something that I can confidently speak on in terms of what kind of gasifier we need, what options are there. I know that one of our trilateral members is interested in their own gasifier because of the kind of environmental cleanup work that they're doing. I don't know that the two can be one and the same. You know, do we operate this 6 months? Because I don't know if we have, you know, once you mine the cells, is there the capacity? Do we have to, once you get it up and running, it has to stay running and hot, that much I know. So then we just build the landfill up and then turn it on for 6 months at a time. We're not going to turn it on and then turn it off, right? So is there a model that we can do some sort of economies of scale and partner with them? Is it burn dirt? I really don't know. There's so many questions that it's not feasible to even try and say we're ready to put it on here. Because again, kind of looking at some of our partners and what can we get done together. And that's taking a little time as well. So that's not an excuse. It's just where we're at. So.
I just wanted to, you know, kind of make sure we, if the baler was going away, that we're, you know, not spending money that we don't really need to because it's going to go away. So on the electric energy storage, we're talking about batteries. I take it to kind of, we have a whole ship full of them here. Anyway.
We're running the orange cord out there as we speak.
Great. But okay, so will this kind of solve the issue? Will it help solve the issue with all the brownouts that we're getting with the power going out? Like even today, we had a little short or little outage for a brief, you know, 5 minutes, just enough to make me have to reset my clocks. So anyway, but it's causing, you know, it causes a lot of problems with all the brown, you know, the power draws and stuff for people's equipment. I hear people's refrigerators and freezers and all kinds of things, you know. In fact, just last month, somebody's furnace went out because of the power. So anyway, I'm just curious, will that help bridge that so it's not such an issue?
Yeah, that's the intent. So this would be a battery or a flywheel, but the effect is similar. But, and Eric can correct me if I'm mis-explaining this, but when there are those like spiky loads on the system, the powerhouse has a really quick time to adapt to that. And this gives a little bit more of a buffer that they can bring more engines online and accommodate that load. So yeah, that's the intent, is dealing with those problems.
Okay, great. That would be really nice to see. And then with the geothermal, if we, you know, if that ends up coming to light, then we would still use that. We'd be able to store power. So I guess that would be a question, is if the geothermal is there, would we be able to store power so that we had some sort of backup if something happened temporarily that we couldn't get power from there? Or would it not play into that at all?
My understanding is these are very short-term backup, like it's for those situations where there's a spiky load, I need a really a quick buffer like that, not a like long-term solution.
Okay, that was one of the questions. I do have a few almost on everything. So the Fisherman's Memorial, do we know what department we're thinking about that would end up falling in instead of planning? Would it go in like public works? I mean, but how's it going to impact the budget long term here?
Well, ultimately, Public Works is the department tasked with implementing a lot of these projects. I think we're keeping and planning at the moment because we're still trying to find a site. So that's kind of why it's still in there before we can wish it on someone else for no other reason.
Okay.
But remember, once it goes up, it'll mostly be a maintenance project, right? Keeping it up is, and that'll be at Public Works.
Okay, perfect. Do we know why we can't put it at the CEM dock?
I don't have a good answer for that. I'm just trying to work through the semantics of how to work with partners. You know, we think we have an answer and then something changes. So it's one of the issues that we're trying to get a hold of with our partners to make sure that when I speak for the city, making sure, if depending on what that statement is, I've got council authority. Mm-hmm. If it's just a concept, well, then I need to know that, you know, how we're getting feedback from our partners.
Okay. So the UMC concrete surface, so that's not, is it because we're doing a study now that that's not going to happen until 2026? It seems, I don't know, that doc seems pretty bad. So I was just kind of,
yeah, those repairs are a follow-up to the evaluation that I think you're going to be talking about tonight. And we don't have a budget for that until we get more information from the survey.
Okay, so it's based because of the survey this year. Okay. And will that include resurfacing the back reach as well? Or just the, I mean, or actually surfacing it, I guess I should say, because you're thinking of pavers and stuff. I'm just wondering if you'll do the same thing there that you were doing on the other end.
The pavers from Backreach are not in the initial scope of the assessment that's in front of you tonight. However, there are a few things in flux right now with one of our major tenants that may incorporate that into a project moving forward with funding. But we don't have a rough order of magnitude for what it's going to take to, at this point, deal with the drainage and the resurfacing issues that are in front of us.
Mm-hmm.
It could, but it's not necessarily part of the scope of the project that's going to be in front of you tonight, which was what was intended to be moving forward with a budget for a CMMP project.
Okay, great. Yeah, I know I've driven on that dock, and it's like, that's kind of scary, but I don't know how all those trucks drive over it every day without, you know, because kind of bounce in there. So that's important. I feel like that's an important project for sure. Court's office that we're looking at. So is there a way that we can incorporate, we've already approved for the restroom. Is that something that you can incorporate with the restroom, maybe put it above a restroom? I've seen in other ports where they have offices upstairs with restroom facilities and different things down in the lower part. You know, and maybe even incorporate the Fisherman's Memorial in it, possibly. I don't know if that's something, you know, not in it, but, you know, in the area. Like if you look at the Port of Kodiak, and again, like the Port of Kodiak, their office is at their harbor. So it's a little bit different, but, you know, have you looked at those kind of things? And then also thinking of future planning. We talked about a cruise ship dock. We've talked about the Navy, things like that. So is that been considered?
Yes. And the simple answer is yes, but not to go too far down in the weeds and all of that. The need for the port office is the value, the real estate at UMC is particularly valuable, and the port office needs to be located in the vicinity of Alaska Marine Center to be compliant and oversee our secure facilities. The assessment, what this is going into the CMMP for this year is strictly a feasibility. Yes, there's been some peripheral discussion about what to do with the bathroom. The bathroom has been an ongoing issue. We have reached out to multiple sources trying to get kind of a prefab, inexpensive bathroom unit to be able to install with some very minimal construction costs. We've kind of come up with goose eggs on some of that. If we go down the line of a feasibility for a port office on UMC, will have to be a second story because we don't want to lose the leasable space that we currently have today in warehousing space. So there also be consideration if Matson ever gets to a point where they're bringing in a bigger crane, there'll have to be consideration for travel space on that. So that might relocate the existing warehouse. So there's all kinds of pieces in play, and the purpose of the funding and request in the CMMP will just really be to do a quick analysis and a feasibility of what is actually and truly available in that vicinity for warehouse and port office space in conjunction with our other operations.
Okay, great. No, it's just good to kind of get an understanding of what you're thinking. And the citywide security upgrades, I'm not a fan of it, just because, you know, I don't feel like we have it. We're not downtown Seattle. Do we need to spend a lot of money on extra cameras? Has there been an issue that shows a need for that? You know, is it just money because we think we should? Sometimes I just kind of feel like, are we, we're a small town, and a lot of times people think we're a big town, and we're not always, but, and we don't usually have the issues bigger town does, but sometimes you do, you know, so do we or don't we have an issue that really needs, you know, we, is this really a need? And so maybe get your thoughts on that one.
I'll handle that one. Oh, we just recently, again, had an issue where someone was rather odd, is the only way I can say it. And it does put people on edge when they just think that they're walking around. It's a public building, but it's not a public, like, you can't just walk back into finance, for example. I think sometimes we get people who wander in here think it's just some place to wander. We don't have any real-time response if something happens and someone comes in here. I don't always give you an example, but we don't even have an intercom system where we can say, hey, we got a problem. I mean, someone would have to run through the building. So I'm not saying it's some million-dollar answer, and I think that's what happened last time. Suddenly we had all these bells and whistles. And we purchased a card system for the back door. That's all it does, is unlock the back door. We put a significant amount of money into that for some reason. And I'm hoping that some of these decisions that were hodgepodge together before, maybe we can use that same system instead of keys that if we have to, you know, you get them, you come and go from your offices. We can kind of keep track of coming and going from the offices, et cetera. But if we need to do a lockdown, you push a button. Not all buildings need that. So again, I'm not going to try and figure out how to design that or what options are there. But also, I think having our buildings connected together also affords some cost benefit too, because I think there was a lot of data required if we were going to do lots of cameras and all that sort of thing. So I just would really like to look at it again and see what we could get, what just a professional think we need. It's not going to be you guys and me going to the Best Buy store and buying things, which I think often seems to be kind of how things get cobbled together in a way. And I'd really like to have an honest assessment about what we could do with what we have, and then what upgrade or two might help make it a little bit better in the event that we do have some kind of need. And even if it's too expensive, or not a Chicago or a Dallas, at least we've looked at it for the terms and safety of our employees. To never look at it, I think, would not be good. So I think it's something we should look at periodically.
Okay, yeah. I agree with the, you know, safety of employees. And yes, you know, if you could lock the place down, that, you know, would be really good if somebody did come into the building. That's all my questions. Thank you. I appreciate you guys. I know I have a couple. I'm like, okay, that one's good. That one's fine. So I think I'm good. I'll let someone else talk. Thank you very much. I appreciate all that.
Well, thank you, Councilman Rubio. Maybe we could get with the planner director before the meeting. I would answer a lot of that easily. Councilman Coleman?
All right. I'm just going to kind of go down the list here. All right. The reintroduction of the flywheel and the battery storage, I'll remember that discussion. I guess I'm opposed to even putting that on the plan until I see something on the power plant. I mean, I don't want to be, it's like we're throwing darts at a moving target here, and I know it can be complicated, but I don't even want to, like, be talking about this until I get a really good comprehensive strategy in place on power. And I know it's kind of a moving target, like I said, because we've got, you know, a private industry, private party into this. But that's what I want to see first before even looking and acknowledging. And I thought it was a good idea at the time, but we nixed it because it does not incorporate into the geothermal section of it. And that's why we put it off. And so, like I said, I really don't even want to have that discussion until I see something a little more concrete. And, you know, what's this, what are we going to do? What have we got? There are tons of questions there, and I have really had yet to have see any kind of good discussion on it. So maybe some has been done internally, but it this, we've been out of the loop on that one. So that's what I'd like to see first. Geo, okay, fire. So fire training years ago came in and said, you know, when the department split, they came in and said, we need a fire training station. And the rationale behind it, and it started out about 500,000, and now it's 1.5. I'm sure it'll be more if they really actually do it. The rationale behind it was very solid and legit, and I thought it was an excellent idea because it's not just fire training, but there's some other options. And you can have people from around Accutane, you can have industry come in. I mean, it was a great tool. I'm surprised it hasn't been built yet. I wish it had been built years ago. But now you're talking about a new building, and I'm definitely opposed to that. I mean, and you look at any new buildings right now, I'm pretty much, it would have to be a really hard sell on me for new buildings. So they had an assessor come out here, go back and read the report. And if I could find it, I'd love to read the report. It's just going off my memory. But the assessment needed, the police need a new building, and we still haven't managed to do that. And so now we're putting in a fire building that there was no need study. That when the police were going to leave, they were going to take the building because you can't do a whole lot with that building. That's what they were saying. And they were going to fix it up, and it was going to be ample space for what fire required. And police were going to get their own building. Public safety were going to get their own building. I don't know what's changed, and I don't know what the major rationale for now putting in a new building for the department when we haven't even built the police station yet. So I don't see the rationale behind that. So I'm full in for the training site, still am, like to get it done. Let's do it. Be great for the department. I don't see the needs on the new building so far. Let's see, going down. Okay, so PCR, they've got a master plan coming on. I see they don't have anything projects, except maybe the one. Need to be done. We've got quite a few coming in the next few years. Again, I'd love to see a master plan first before, again, throwing a bunch of darts on board and saying this is what we'd like to have. Likes are great, but again, master plans, major studies to see where the need is and start, filling in those holes. So I'm not saying it's not needed. It just seems like, again, we have a plan. Let's look at the plan. What are the results of the plan, and then move forward with that. Public transport. You're looking at a design. So I remember the conference. I remember the study. I remember the big discussion. It seemed like there seemed to have been. It was an internal one done by us, right? And it seemed like there was seemed to be a slight need. Again, I guess at this point, some of the rationale that has here, the multiple use, if you have a dedicated bus line bus to a line, I don't know how you can pull them and use it for other, but again, you're asking simply for the design phase of it. So like anything, I do appreciate the need for the assessments first before just going in and the ask. So not totally opposed on that one. I have to look a little bit. And then solid waste. Oh my God, the Baylor building. Let's get all that fixed. I think there was a time when we were supposed to do some an insulation and stuff in the Baylor building. Never got done. The safety stuff with all that coming on, and when it's not, I mean, yes. the skill that solid waste, I'm still for the gasifier. And so I don't really have anything wastewater and water. Let's go to ports though. I do, again, I'm going to go back to the new building issue. So I'm really very, very apprehensive regardless of who it was. So the question is, what's the need? I mean, what's the need? What's the need that the current office can't give you that you're looking at possibly wanting another building for?
We are still not in a safe situation behind the Latitude 54 building. The rock scaling that was approved by council was completed to what they could do safely. The initial plan was to do a charge, small charge on that, and loosen up where those fractures were and get some of that rock to slip down. They couldn't. The rock is so fractious that they cannot, we could not drill in there to safely put a charge in there to bring that down in small enough pieces. So the back building of that, the back corner of the Latitude 54 building is still basically closed off. It's still at high risk. We are operating partially displaced still as personnel. That does not mean that the council is not going to have to take some action in protecting the property line that's adjacent to us, regardless of the building. We own the property. Another company owns the building. The idea that we need to be in the vicinity, we've looked hard and long for temporary land space and temporary building space that we can put like ATCO trailers even, and those kind of things to be able to suffice as a port office while we were unable to, we were out of the office, the bulk of us were out of the office for an entire year until they got that scaling done. And the building itself, we need to be in the vicinity of the secured facilities, the regulated facilities. So what do we own that we can safely build on and not impact our revenue stream? We are the only department that operates out of a non-city owned building. Not that that is the driver, because the agreement that we have with the owner of the building is a fantastic deal for us financially, but it is not a fantastic deal for us safely.
So what do you plan to gain out of the feasibility study? What's it going to say? It's not feasible, and then we're going to, like, what, go and sit in an unsafe building?
The feasibility study is actually for site selection.
So, again, I mean, new buildings is, I'm just looking at other options, alternatives from building. I feel like there seems to be sometimes a disconnect here. Sometimes we just got through talking about crab disaster, and we've got stocks that are, you know, crashed, and yet we want to expand and build when I really am focused on repair and replace right now. And yours is a little bit different, but that's where I'm at.
Ideally, Councilman Pullman, I would prefer not to move, because financially that office is ideal for us, which is one of the reasons we looked very hard and long and decided not to build an office when we did the UMC positions 3 and 4. It was financially not responsible at that moment to include that in the cost of the project, because at this point we have our base rent and it includes our utilities. We don't have maintenance. We don't have depreciation on that. So we've fully recognized that if we go into building an office space for the port, all those things come into play.
Right.
But well, looking at a site selection process with city property in mind, we will be able to pencil together a return on investment and take a look at it from that perspective.
Fair enough. And as a little before the report, but like I said, you know, we have a police station that we can't even seem to manage to get off the ground that we've had on the books, or, and they're in need based on the assessment that we did several years ago. That hasn't changed. So not sure what's dragging on that deal. COVID happened, but is now. So anyway, again, new buildings. So I think that's kind of, there's some pretty those are my opinions right now. Of course, it's just the first round and first thoughts, and I will continue to have a discussion with city manager on, you know, options and where we are. So I thank you for the presentation, and that's, I think, all I have. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman Coleman. Any further questions or comments? We'll have another round. This is just the first look at what we have. Councilman Bell?
I'll try and keep it short here. I was going to talk about the transportation study. I know, you know, back in 2018 when it was done, you guys put a lot of work into that. And you did show through that there was potential to make it work. From my recollection, though, there was a certain amount of apprehension or skepticism on the council on whether we need that or if it would actually work. So I'm willing to move forward with an open mind, come in and wow the council. So that's all I'm going to say on that. And then on the ports, is the demand study something different from the assessment of building assessment or?
No, I'll ask Peggy to answer that question again or for me, please.
Yes, so the assessment that's in front of you tonight is for the repair and maintenance on positions 5 through 7. Are you talking about the feasibility study for the building, or was that the assessment you were referring to?
I'm just not sure if we're intermixing titles here or if these are multiple studies.
The demand study is for vessel traffic and potential use of cruise ships over the entrance channel and into Dutch Harbor proper. That demand study was funded last year. So that's already on the books. The assessment that is in front of you tonight is with the second reading of the budget amendment, and it will provide the maintenance assessment for what needs to be done. Then that will develop a rest for order of magnitude and cost. And that's what we'll be presenting to council for your consideration as a project for that maintenance project. Did that clear it up?
Yeah, I just hear study after study after study. We start spending millions of dollars on studies, and it's like, we'll study it to death. A demand study, which I would assume would include what potential facilities we need. Is our time frame on that? Or?
The intention of the demand study was not to include facilities. It was strictly to understand the vessel demand of our port and what new traffic would be transiting in and out of here with the deep draft entrance channel opening and the deep draft capacity of the docks.
And Peggy, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think that also feeds into then, you know, our future rates. I mean, what kind of what we expect to be having come and go is kind of part of a forecast, but I would go into the rate study of how we charge for the docks.
Okay. I want to start pointing fingers or anything, but for 3 years now, I've been asking the city managers, you know, for some kind of plan on what's going on with ports and where we see that down the road. You know, do we have a need to build the positions from 7 down to the airport? You know, do we need facilities other places? The second phase of CEM, I assume, was to expand that. I don't know if we need that now or.
The demand study that was approved last year on the CMMP does not include the CEM piece of that. The CEM piece of that was something that Chris Laddick brought up when he was here in the interim capacity, that we should have been working on that several years ago, and that had fallen off the radar. So we are not addressing that at this point. That's just straight up and honest. But the demand study that was funded for last year will take into consideration all the vessel traffic and moving in around what was proposed to be the cruise ship site. And hopefully with that, we will learn more about cargo traffic, tanker traffic. We're hoping to get some kind of consideration or nod to Department of Defense traffic, as well as the cruise ships. We've seen an uptick in the cruise ships, and understand what the need is. Then we will be able to develop a more comprehensive plan for future capital development. But that's kind of why we are in a kind of a scarce request for funds. The port fund doesn't have funds to demand right now, but we got to understand what we're looking at. So every time you do a study, it breeds projects. That's how those work.
They just all feed into the CMMP. We got $22 million police station. We got to think about that as opposed to, you know, a $20 million fire station. We need, you know, a $20 million dock somewhere. And granted, those are all separate projects, and, you know, they have different requirements or why we would be doing that, but it's all money going out. So thanks.
Thank you, Councilman Bolt. Councilman Tungle.
On that same topic, this study a part of the DAF, you know, how much the boat grows that we're bringing into the port? How big of a ship?
Yes. So the goal is to understand what the deepening of the entrance channel and deepening of the dock faces, what vessel traffic, what that opens up to industry. And it'll be a market study as well as just kind of a general, like what's in, we'll be tapping all kinds of resources, but it will be a market study reaching out to those carriers that are currently here and those that have, you know, flagged interest in Unalaska Dutch Harbor in the past.
Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman Tungle. Any further questions from council? Okay, thank you very much for coming. We'll be reviewing these again in a couple of weeks for a final review and approval. So I urge council members to speak with planning and speak to city manager. All right. Next time I was in turn. Now we'll receive public comment and 3 minutes per person. Does anyone here in the chambers wish to speak to the CMMP? Oh, okay. City clerk, are there any written or Zoom or telephone?
No, sir. No one submitted any comments.
Okay, thank you. I request a motion and a second to return to regular session.
I make a motion to go into regular session.
Second.
Moved by Councilman Nicholson, second by Councilman Tungle to go back to regular session. Hearing no objection, we're back in regular session at 8:44. Back to regular session. 7:44. Okay. We're using that. Okay, now we're in the regular session. Person is wishing to speak on the regular agenda items must sign up for the city clerk. Has anyone signed up?
No, sir. No one signed up.
Okay, the first item is the Alaska Ship Liquor License Transfer Application to Three Bears Alaska Incorporated, and there was no action recommended. On item B, no objection, move to item B, Ordinance 2024-02, second reading. Creating a budget amendment number 3 to the fiscal year 2024 budget, appropriating $84,450 from the general fund to increase the Department of Public Safety Records Management System project, accepting State of Alaska Department of Health MIH grant for $83,333.33. To fund the purchase of a new command vehicle, reducing the budget amount for the cruise ship terminal and demand study project by $45,042 to fund the UMC's dock site survey on the port's operating fund. We have a motion and a second to adopt Ordinance 2024-02.
I move to adopt Ordinance 2024-02.
Second.
Moved by Councilman Tungo, second by Councilman Nicholson. I'll turn this over to the city manager for further introduction.
All right, thank you. So basically, this is a budget amendment that's serving three items. We reviewed these, I think, at a public work session at the last meeting, and I haven't entertained any questions from anyone since that meeting. So this is kind of a last chance to see if there's any discussions here, any questions here.
Okay, thank you. Councilman Coleman?
Yes, I had a couple of questions that you were going to answer for not.
Right. So many. One, I should say, we didn't. There was a question about the using the 911 fee, the tax. We are still awaiting an answer on what we can use some of those funds for, but none of them, this is a catch me too, none of the ones listed in here are basically eligible. So we've gotten that far, but we've then asked what then can we use it, because they're very specific. If he goes, if we fund anybody, it's how many per calls they're using. It seems to be very, very specific on 911 uses or specific pieces of equipment that fund 911. So that much I know, which then brings up the question, how do you buy any one piece of equipment that just serves that function? So that, I believe, is where we're at. And I'm happy to ask Ben to come up and answer anything else.
I guess I have a hard time understanding how records management wouldn't be an eligible project for that. But again, it's very specific. I get a certain point. Yeah, that's
what
I know. There's not a lot in here, but it's just another one of those, right. Like, I don't know if that was I don't know if this is a public safety or fire, since you kind of shared the procedure here. Yeah, through the city manager, I'll look to Chief Nichols maybe to expand on that.
Yes. So it is somewhat of a gray area when you actually read what they can go to. The E911 funds in that surcharge, specifically in Title VI, is to fund E911 specifically, and specifically to Annie Alley Data, which is coming in through those telcos and different providers. What's hard, and what I think we have to somehow work out amongst city staff and figuring out how those funds can be used, is what we determine as E911, because anything can be put in to E911, but that may not be appropriate. You know, there's certain CAD, there's computer screens that the E911 system goes on the computer screen. So can we buy a whole bunch of computer monitors with that money? Probably not. But it's really open for interpretation, I think, in the best interest of the city. And as we determine, it's not safe for us at this point to say, yes, we can purchase this equipment and these softwares, because it, as it is related to E911, it is not specifically for those services.
All right, another question.
I know we've not, and I'm so sorry. I'm just going to blank on that.
And then the other question I have concerning this ordinance. So I know we talked about the cruise ship, the van study project, about how much we had put away for it, and that Ports is asking for $45,000 to come out of that. So the money for the cruise ship demand project, that was funded through the general fund, or is that through the Ports proprietary fund? Was that budgeted through, how was that budgeted? Okay, well, that's
easy. For the record, that was budgeted through the proprietary fund.
Okay, thank you.
Any further questions? Need at the CMMP. Okay. City clerk, has anyone signed up to provide public comment?
No, sir. No one signed up.
Well, at this time, I'll request a roll call vote, please.
Certainly, Mr. Mayor. Mr. Vongo?
Yes.
Mr. Tungo?
Yes.
Ms. Coleman?
Yes.
Ms. Levy?
Yes.
Mr. Bell?
Yes.
Mr. Nicholson?
Yes.
Well, thank you. With the roll call vote of 6 yeses and 0 nays, Ordinance 2024-02 has passed second reading. Next item is the Resolution 2024-02 authorizing the city manager to enter into a sole source agreement with PND engineers for the site survey of Unalaska Marine Center positions 5 through 7 in the amount not to exceed $45,042. May I have a motion and a second to approve Resolution 2024-02 and adopt.
I move to adopt resolution on the resolution 2024-02.
Second.
Been moved and seconded to by Councilman Tungle and seconded by Councilman Luby to adopt the resolution 2024. I'll turn this over to City Manager for introduction.
Thank you, Mayor and Council. We've discussed this a little bit of brevity, but this is the budget. This is the authority to sign a contract for the work that we're trying to do to assess what is happening with the underlying pavement out there. We've got a proprietary system that we need to basically use the same contract, the same engineering firm that designed it to come out and help us assess it. That's the reason for the sole source.
Okay, thank you. Any questions from Council on this? Councilman Bell?
Yeah, I'll support this, and you know, the sooner the better. You know, a lot of long-term, you know, stand out on that dock in ankle-deep water in the middle of the night, and it's definitely overdue and needs to be taken care of, so thank you.
Thank you, Councilman Bell. Any further questions, Councilman Hongo?
I will support it too. I think PNB, we're familiar with that, with our dock in there, and we do the extension, but we need to sign the extension too, and that 3 to 4 in there. So I think having a sole source, this is it's a great idea, because we're saving money for this. I think in the long run, we'll be able to hire them to do this. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman Tunnel. Any prefer to council discussion or question? Hearing none, City Clerk, have anyone signed up to provide public comment?
No, sir, no one signed up.
No? Okay, thank you. I'll restate the motion. The motion is to adopt Resolution 2024-02 authorizing City Manager enter into a sole source agreement with PND Engineers. The site survey of Unalaska Marine Center positions 5 through 7 and the amount not to exceed $45,042. Roll call vote, please.
Mr. Bell?
Yes.
Ms. Luby?
Yes.
Mr. Nicholson?
Yes.
Mr. Longo?
Yes.
Ms. Coleman?
Yes.
Mr. Tungo?
Yes.
Thank you. On a roll call vote, with this vote, the council has adopted Resolution 2024-02. Next item is Ordinance 2024-03, creating a budget amendment number 4 to the fiscal year 2024 budget, appropriating $220,175 from the general fund to create the high school boiler replacement project. May I have a motion and a second to introduce the ordinance 2023 and schedule it for public hearing and second reading on February 13, 2024.
I make a motion to adopt ordinance 2024-03.
Second.
Moved by Councilman Nicholson and seconded by Councilman Longo. I'll turn this over to City Manager to introduce this ordinance, please.
Thank you. This is a matter that we feel is priority. We need to address it as we're down one boiler, and I think we're having difficulty with another.
system heats the school, it heats the school complex. We don't want to get ourselves into a situation where we have to shut down the school in order to get these things in due to heat. So we're putting this matter ahead of this year's CMMP process because obviously that budget won't come until open until July. And that's why you're seeing this on your docket today.
Thank you. Any questions or comments for the city manager on the ordinance 2024-03? Councilman Coleman.
So this was discovered in April of 2023. And we're seeing it now.
I'm not sure that we immediately thought it was going to be this bad, but that's all I can honestly bring up with an explanation at this point. I mean, the second one is bad. The first one we knew. And if Scott would like to come up and help answer the question, we have three.
The three boilers.
Right.
I remember this coming up earlier. And the discussion was one's going to go down, but we'd have two in backup. And now we've got of the two in backup. The other one's going to go. Yeah. Oh, no. See, yeah. This is more than I remember because, so again, maybe through the city manager, we could get a little.
Thank you, Scott.
History on this because, yeah, this seems like maybe it should have gone through CMMP last spring if it was so bad. I don't like to see these budget amendments if we've known something is failing and we're just now addressing it.
Well, if I can address the timing, remember April, we're already in that spot. So if we find it right then, your CMMP is already steamrolling towards adoption to the multi-budget adoption process, basically. So I'm sure we've discovered it, but didn't mean we know the full depth of what we were dealing with.
I understand. So again, I'm kind of like, we've got three boilers. One is just the one is out, and the three I'm still going to get a no. So yes, let's just help me with that.
Mr. Mayor, Council, thank you. Councilman Coleman, what we have is there's three boilers that usually handle the whole system of the school, all the school and the pool. One of them has been sidelined and the inspector came in and inspected it. We didn't find out about that until maybe June, July. I think I was here for a little while. And we were actually trying to sort out some of the obligations with the school and how public works with that and how we're maintaining and how we code and the school agreement works together. I'm sorry if I mentioned that right. But so we were going through those things and having conversations with school and trying to get a 5-year plan or what kind of needs they may have in the next 5 years or 10 years. And then that's when this was discovered that the one boiler had been sidelined. The school can operate on two boilers. And how it works is the third one kind of just covers over and just to be cost effective and more efficient. So we lost the one. The two boilers can handle the school and the pool. But if we lose one of the other ones, then we could not heat the pool for sure. The hope is on one boiler that we would actually be able to heat the whole school. It's not been tested with one boiler. The assumption is that it could at least heat the school to keep the kids in school. We would have to spend any of the pool activities or the aquatic center stuff until we were able to restore the heat. So that's kind of been our backup plan. If we did lose a second boiler, then we would have to work with PCR and see what we're going to do about the pool until we can get that up. There's a 12 to 16 week order period, so it's about a 4-month period. So if we were to do the conventional, considering that we only found out the timing, the CMMP process was already pretty much over. So for us to be able to do that in the normal way we would do it, we would be presented that now, we'd get the funding in June, it would be too late. We would end up, by the time we got those boilers to replace, school would be back in session. The problem is why we can't do that while school's in session is there's just not enough room in the area where the boilers are, so they basically have to take the whole system down to work in there. So we would have to suspend. We tried to see if we could figure it out during like a spring break, or but there's just not enough time to do it. And if we can't get the heat on, then we can't have the kids in the school. So that's why we've done it. We also discussed trying to phase it, maybe get one boiler or two boilers, and then later on get a third one. Also not a cost-effective way to do it. And with the pricing that we're getting right now, it's just going to get worse if we keep stretching that out. So that's why we came to the plan. Let's just get all three of them now, get over it. The ones that are in there are like 39 years old. So it's time. And they were put in the 90s. But they're aging out. So anyway, that hopefully answers your question.
So we're replacing, we're getting three new ones.
Also in conjunction with that, you heard in the CMMP, there's also a rebar project that is coming up. We're hoping to be able to do that while we have the boilers down and the pools not accessible to use because the pool's not heated. We're hoping to be able to do that rebar project at the same time as we're doing the boilers.
Okay. And the two boilers we've got going now are still...
They're still working.
They're operating
fine.
All right.
There's cracking in them and stuff, but not to the extent. So, I mean, it is a matter of time. So, we are kind of Russian roulette.
I think it's a matter of time for all of us.
It's time for all of us, that's for sure.
So, all right, I appreciate the explanation and the timing on this and the thought for the planning. That's all I have.
Hey, thank you, Councilman Coleman. Thanks. Appreciate that. Councilman Bell.
Yeah, I'll support this ordinance too. It's kind of a no-brainer. And it's great that, you know, that we're in a city here where we've got the money that we can, you know, we can do this and it's not going to affect our bottom line. We can take care of the school. I assume since the third boiler was, there was another question along with that the third boiler, it's for efficiency and kind of a backup. But if we did any improvements to the pool, that there would be that reserve capacity there if we needed to generate more heat. So, yeah. So, and an unheated pool sounds like an indoor polar bear plunge. So, city manager first.
Thanks, Councilman Bill. All right, any further questions on this ordinance 2402? No. City clerk, was anyone signed up to provide public comment?
No, sir. No one signed up.
Okay. I'll restate the motion. The motion made and seconded to adopt ordinance 2024-03. And
schedule. Sorry, Mayor. Go ahead. To schedule it for
reading on February 13th, 2024.
What the heck's
going on? Post
somewhere? I'm sorry, I'm pressing the wrong button. Phil
Hudson. I'm done now. So, okay, we've I've restated the motion, moved and seconded, and we're request a roll call vote.
I got the right one this time. Ms. Levy?
Yes.
Mr. Bell?
Yes.
Mr. Nicholson?
Yes.
Mr. Longo?
Yes.
Mr. Tongo?
Yes.
Ms. Coleman? Yes.
Thank you. Six votes in favor of ordinance 2024-03 and scheduled for public hearing and second reading on February 13th, 2024. The next item is council directives to the city manager. Are there any directives? If so, they need to be moved and seconded. Is there none?
Community input and announcements. This is the final opportunity to provide information to the council or make announcements. 3-minute time limit. Let's see. Are there any further announcements in chambers?
Mayor, I'd just like to let the folks know that they're seeing nutrition education for Unalaskans eating healthy. It's happening January 24th from 1 and 3:30 to 5 p.m. at the Unalaska Senior Center. So this is tomorrow, and so join them for a discussion on nutrition and diabetes, hypertension for adults, and nutrition and healthy eating. And then for the school, there's a game scheduled on Thursday, basketball for boys and girls versus Hooper Bay, and another on Friday, January 26th. So first game at 5:30, and then second game at 7 p.m. at the big gym. And then on Friday, the first game is at 6 p.m. and second game at 7:30 at the big gym as well, and the senior night at 5 p.m.
Go Raiders. Yeah. I had one announcement for veterans out there that are listening. I was contacted by Timothy Linder from the Soldotna Veterans Administration Area, a group out of Soldotna that's coming into Unalaska. And they're looking to sit down with veterans and talk about the health and benefit issues that many of our veterans don't get unless they actually attend a clinic. So those of you out there that do know veterans, we'll get a firm date probably next week or two. But you can call me on at the City Hall here or leave a message, and we'll try to get a list together, and so we can meet with you can meet individually, privately, and also as a group. You'll be here for 2.5 days, sometime in February. I'll keep you posted. So that's all I've got. Anything else? Okay. Having completed all of our agenda, we are adjourned at 8:08 p.m. Thank you very much. Good night, Unalaska.